Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Name 991 in Vishnu Sahasranam is Kshitisha, which means the Lord of the Earth. The Kshiti, this comes from the understanding as a place of dwelling, and Isha means the Lord. Previously, we had a very similar name in Vishnu Sahasranam, Medinipati. I remember I spoke on that in Sri Rangam at one of our, it was during the Shravan Kirtan camp, whatever. The commentators don't make this point, but it struck me that Bhishma Dev is saying this in the presence of Yudhishthira, who's also Kshitisha. It's also a name, it means a king, can mean a king. He just said Devaki Nandan, this is his Krishna. He's Srashta, he created all of this, and he's in control of it also. And it brings to mind the Bhumi Gita in Bhagavatam, where Bhumi, the earth, is mocking, making fun of all the great kings in the past who conquered others and thought, now I am the unrivaled Lord of the earth. And they're all lost and gone. Here, this area here, there must have been different, what they now call Native American tribes who are fighting with each other, and there was someone in charge here. Often I bring up this point when I'm traveling in India, who was the ruler of this place 100 years ago, and usually no one knows. At the time must have been such a big, big thing. Even in the villages, far from the capital, everyone would know the name of the king overseeing them. It's a big, big thing. All forgotten. So pointing out, he's the real king. He's the real lord of the earth. Why the earth? Why may I make a big thing? He's Jagannath. Why make a big thing of the earth? Different commentators pick up on this point. Parashara Bhatta gives the point that there's more suffering on this earth than in other places. We hear of the lower planetary systems, which are more opulent and full of material enjoyment even than the heavenly worlds. Of course, in hell, well, it's stated that even in the third canto, it's stated that the living being finds some kind of pleasure even in hell. I guess when you're being beaten, there's a little pleasure in between when the rod hits your back and when it's removed, you get a little relief in between. So there's pleasure even in hell. Who knows, when you're being forced to embrace the red-hot figure of a member of the opposite sex, you're having illicit sex, you maybe remember, that was a lot of fun at the time. Maybe, I don't know, it's hard to understand how there's pleasure in hell, but we do see that with the pigs, the hellish life, but they feel pleasure. So more suffering than in other worlds, and so Bhagavan comes here more often to relieve the sufferings of the beings here. And particularly the earth is very important in all the universe because there's not so much happiness that we tend to forget the goal of life altogether. The illusion of happiness is strongly tempered by distress. But then again, the distress is not so much as to totally overwhelm us. We often see, even practicing devotees, they get into some position of material enjoyment and then they just They don't take Krishna consciousness very seriously. Or they may be beset with terrible sufferings and they lose faith or they lose their motivation. Naprahrishyat priyang prapya nodvijet prapya cha priyam. Stira, what is it? Harsha marsha bhayodvegayar. Anyway, this point is there, that someone who's not elated when there's opportunities for material enjoyment and not disturbed when there are distresses, sources of distress, who's free from material jubilation and lamenting, who's not pushed by fear. So that's not many people. Everyone is pushed around by the modes of material nature. But there is an opportunity in this human life. There's sufficient intelligence and there's opportunity for developing that intelligence in a spiritual way. So Bhagavan comes here more than other places. He does go other places also, of course, as Vamana. He appears in the heavenly worlds and then takes up residence in the lower planetary systems. He's the Lord, Velaguri Krishna, who's also commented on the Vishnu Sahasranam. He refers to, as do the Sri Vaishnava, many of the Sri Vaishnava commentators, not Parashrabhata, the original one. He refers to Shruti and Smriti, but after him, the Sri Vaishnava commentators often refer to the Divya Prabandham. So he refers to the, and, okay, don't laugh at my Tamil pronunciation. The Tiruvaimoli Pasuram. Okay. Namalva points out that even though he's the Lord particularly of the Devas, he's known as Deva Deva. And here we're referring to the gods in the heavenly worlds. Namalva says that he's more attached to me. I appreciate this, because I'm in a more helpless position than them. So the attention goes to those who are more needing it. The ducks that quack the most get the more bread thrown at them, or to them. Namalva says that being the Lord of even the Nityasuris, those who are in the spiritual world, being the Lord of them, that's no great credit. That's just expected. Like the king, he's expected to have his associates. I'm extrapolating a bit. But his true glory is in coming and mixing with lowly people, like me, he says, down here, and being accessible to us. So this brings out his solabhyam, his quality of being available to the devotees. And they appreciate, devotees in this world appreciate that so much. In the heavenly worlds, Vamana was called because we need you to help restore our position of sense gratification. But here in this earthly plane, there's more possibility of developing pure devotion to Krishna. So his overlordship covers everything, everywhere, all times, all places, all circumstances. But he does keep a special eye on the earth, and he keeps a special eye on her. Means she's his consort also. First we say Shri and then Bhu. In the hierarchy, she's number two. First is Lakshmi and then Earth. of course, in the spiritual world, that's she's just Boo or Satyabhama. Shankara gives this name as a reference to Rama, the son of Dasharath, lord of the earth. It can refer to any king, and he specifically says this should be understood in the context of Sri Rama. As the consort of Mother Earth, links with Varaha, who we've discussed in various names. Just four names previously, the name Vaikarnasa was one unpacking of that name was for Varaha avatar. His very avatars, one major purpose is Bhubharaharan, to take away the weight that is oppressing the earth, the weight of the demons. She can take the weight of the mountains, but she's not very happy with the presence of the demons. In this regard, Baladev Vidyabhushan gives his commentary that he removes the burden of the earth, Kshiti, is how he unpacks the name, and then he protects Isha, he protects it. So after coming to this world, he protects it. Of course, he's always protecting, but after clearing the demons out, he personally remains for some time to protect the world, keep it in proper order. So to understand Krishna, Vishnu, as the Lord of the Earth, we can better examine the Shastric descriptions of the Earth. Wandering around the internet searching for things to discuss in the discussion of this name, I came across a translation of the Prithivi Sukta, prayer to the earth, hymn to the earth, from Atharva Veda. I only got the English translation by who knows. But here it is. Untrammeled in the midst of men, the earth, adorned with heights and gentle slopes and plains, bears plants and herbs of various healing powers. May she spread wide for us, afford us joy. On whom are ocean, river, and all waters, on whom have sprung up food and ploughman's crops, on whom moves all that breathes and stirs abroad, earth, may she grant to us the long first draught. Here draught means drinking. To earth belong the four directions of space. On her grows food, on her the ploughman toils. She carries likewise all that breathes and stirs. Earth, may she grant us cattle and food in plenty, on whom the men of olden days roamed far, on whom the conquering gods smote the demons. The home of cattle, horses, and of birds, may earth vouchsafe to us good fortune and glory. Bearer of all things, hoard of treasures rare, sustaining mother, earth, the golden-breasted, who bears the sacred universal fire, whose spouse is Indra. Here it says Indra. May she grant us wealth, limitless earth, whom the gods, never sleeping, protect forever with unflagging care. May she exude for us the well-loved honey, shed upon us her splendor copiously. The gods never sleeping. I'd like to see the original. I couldn't find the Sanskrit, but we have the name for Vishnu is Animish. That comes right at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. That Naimishe Nimishakshetra. Yeah, so he means, it literally means he never closes his eyes. He never winks. In Bengal, there is a tradition, or was a tradition. We always have to change it into the past tense for all the traditions. In which the earth has every year a menstrual cycle. And that's before the time of planting the seeds. And during that time, no plowing, forbidden. And women undertake fasting. And not Bengal, in Assam, at the Kamakhya temple, famous temple of Devi, it's closed because she's cloistered away during her menstrual period. And similarly, they're all plowing. And then as soon as the time is over, then plowing and planting seeds, everything resumes. Oh, that's done. So it's similar to in family life, the wife, she during her menstrual cycle, she's cloistered away. No touching her, don't do anything. She's resting. And then immediately after, the seed can be planted. Yeah, I'd mentioned about the Bhumi Gita. Shukadev Goswami speaking to King Parikshit, who himself was king of the earth, but now is nothing. He's just, his days are at the end. Mighty king of the earth. In the very beginning of Shukadev's discussion, to Parikshit, I didn't mention that last night, maybe I should have done. In the very beginning, Shukadev, he bolstered Parikshit's resolution to be detached. Because, you know, Maya is so strong, theoretically, he could have, in the middle of the narration by Shukadev, said, someone could have come, one of the ministers could have come and said, hey, look, there's some important work, we need you. We need you to sign some papers. Of course, in those days, they didn't have such things. We need you. And he said, well, I just have to go away and sign some papers. I'll be right back. And in the meantime, he's eaten by a tiger or whatever. You can't say. Someone thinks, I want to die in Vrindavan. And then, just as his health declines, the family members get news and come and take him to a hospital in Delhi, and he dies in a hospital in Delhi. So we just don't know. So, first of all, Shukadev, he spoke verses of renunciation to Parikshit Maharaj, and then toward the end of his narration, that means the 7 days are almost up, Shukadev spoke this Bhumi Gita, which I'd mentioned, I'll say now, extract from, that Bhumi Devi, the earth herself, laughed at seeing the kings of this earth busy trying to conquer her. Same nowadays. There's no real reason why all the big, powerful people in the world, like Mr. Biden and Gospodin Putin, and I don't know how to say in Chinese, and Mr. Chi and Modi, Xi, is it? Xi. And Modi and who else? There are so many. They could all get together and say, hey, look, why don't we all work cooperatively for the benefit of everyone in the world? But instead, they make enmity with each other. They don't question, why don't we all read Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Successful People and work out a win-win solution for everyone? It's going on to the present day. So Bhumidevi said, just see how these kings, who are actually playthings in the hands of death, desire to conquer me. Great rulers of men, even those who are learned, meet frustration and failure because of material lust. That we also hear, the king, the great powerful lord of the earth, he goes in the woman's quarters and he becomes a plaything in the hands of his queens, who mock him and insult him, and he has to do what they say. Driven by lust, these kings place great hope and faith in the dead lump of flesh called the body, even though the material frame is as fleeting as bubbles of foam on water. Kings and politicians imagine, first I will conquer my senses and mind. Then I will, not for spiritual purposes, but you can't rule the country unless you conquer your senses. You have to have some measure of self-control. If you're a complete mental wreck, you can't do anything. First I will conquer my senses and mind, then I will subdue my chief ministers and rid myself of the thorn pricks of my advisors, citizens, friends and relatives, as well as the keepers of my elephants. In this way I will gradually conquer the entire earth. We see that Kamsa, all those demons he was sending to Vrindavan, they were all conquered by him previously, and they all came under his control. Bhumidevi says, because the hearts of the leaders are bound by great expectations, they fail to see death waiting nearby. After conquering all the land on my surface, these proud kings forcibly enter the ocean to conquer the sea itself. What is the use of their self-control, which is aimed at political exploitation? The actual goal of self-control is spiritual liberation. O best of the Kurus, the earth continued as follows. Although in the past great men and their descendants have left me, departing from this world in the same helpless way they came into it, even today foolish men are trying to conquer me. And then continuing, or even prior to this, Shukadeva was saying, my dear King Parikshit, all these kings I have described, because in Bhagavatam there are descriptions of so many kings, or at least their names, just their name is given. All these kings I have described, as well as all other human beings, come to this earth and stake their claims, but ultimately they must all give up this world and meet their destruction. Even though a person's body may now have the designation king, in the end its name will be worms, stool, or ashes. So Kshetish, this properly refers to Krishna. It's only a drama that someone is the king. He's in control. But the permanent, eternal Kshetish is Krishna. Continuing from Bhagavatam, what can a person who injures other living beings for the sake of his body know about his own self-interest, since his activities are simply leading him to hell? The materialistic king thinks this unbounded earth was held by my predecessors and is now under my sovereignty. How can I arrange for it to remain in the hands of my sons, grandsons, and other descendants? So he's in control, but he knows the control is fragile. Whereas with Krishna, there's no fragility. Although the foolish accept the body made of earth, water, and fire as me, and this earth as mine, in every case they have ultimately abandoned both their body and the earth and passed into oblivion. My dear King Parikshit, all these kings who tried to enjoy the earth by their strength were reduced by the force of time to nothing more than historical accounts. And that also will be forgotten and lost in course of time. So Kshitish. Krishna is Kshitish because he doesn't exercise any temporary control, but the earth who supports everything, he is the basis, the support, the foundation for the earth. So in this way, it's not just some temporary control, but the very basis of her existence, as of the existence of everything else, Shrashta. We discussed that name just previously. He's the creator of everything, and he's the maintainer of everything, and particularly referring to the earth, Mother Earth. In all cultures, the earth is seen as a mother. We may say, well, not in modern American culture. Then we say that's not culture at all. In Bhagavatam, we find that after Varahadev lifted the earth, the rishis referred, or they prayed to him, Varahadev, referring to his relationship with the earth. This is from the Bhagavatam, third canto. They said, O Lord, for the residential purposes of all inhabitants, both moving and non-moving, this earth is your wife and you are the Supreme Father. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you along with Mother Earth, in whom you have invested your own potency just as an expert sacrificer puts fire in the Arani wood. Prominent in all societies prior to the present extraordinarily unusual society that we live in, there was earth worship or worship of the goddess worship. That was there from tribal cultures up to, and in Christianity, especially in Catholicism, there's this worship of the Mary, the Mother of God, they say. And it, in Catholicism, worship of Mary is practically more than of Jesus. It's parallel to the Durga cult in Vedic culture, where there's the understanding of Durga, and then of Lakshmi, those who worship Lakshmi without Narayana. And even in the highest theism, actually when we get to the highest theism, we understand God is a person, Purush, he's male. But if you really want to get into the highest level, we have to see his consort, the female, as even higher in the sense that he recognizes her as more important to him than his very life. Radha says, mat prananat, he is the Lord of my life. But Krishna feels the same way about Radha, and in the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya also, they give much importance to Sri, that you can't get moksha, which means the opportunity to serve the Lord directly without her grace and her intervention. She is more important. This is especially emphasized in the Tengalai branch, but they all see her as more important. So Bhumi, worship of the earth, as not just some combination of chemicals, but as our mother. Here also reading from the Bhagavatam, sees the great sages see earth as mother and Vishnu as the father of all beings. Brahma Vaivarta Purana says that earth is an expansion of Sri Radha, And Anantashesh, who holds up the earth, is an expansion of Sri Krishna. Krishna says to Radha, Aham Sheshash Cha Kalaya Swangshena Twam Vasundaraha. I am an expansion of Shesha, and you are Vasundhara, the earth. And goes on that as a potter cannot create a pot without clay, so I cannot create the worlds without you. Now this is Radha, of course, in the spiritual world, Hladini Shakti. But then she, her expansions and expansions of expansions come to the very ingredients of this earth, which are none different from Bhumi Devi. In Bhagavatam, again, we find the devas praying to Krishna, calling Bhumi Mother. O Mother Earth, Amba, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, incarnated himself as Lord Sri Krishna, just to unload your heavy burden. All his activities here are transcendental, and they cement the path of liberation. You are now bereft of his presence. You are probably now thinking of those activities and feeling sorry in their absence. And throughout Bhagavatam, Earth, the Devi, the goddess, appears in the pastimes of Krishna, the very wife of Krishna. You may say, well, if she's the wife of Krishna and our mother, then how come so many demons are born here? But her direct son from Vishnu was a great demon. Bhumasura, the goddess of the earth, approached Lord Krishna and presented him with Aditi's earrings, which were made of glowing gold and inlaid with shining jewels. She also gave him a Vaijayanti flower garland, Varuna's umbrella, and the peak of the Mandara mountain. O king, after bowing down to him and then standing with joined palms, the goddess, her mind filled with devotion, began to praise the Lord of the universe, whom the best of the demigods worship. The gopis praise the good fortune of the earth. O Mother Earth, what austerity did you perform to attain the touch of Lord Keshava's lotus feet, which we want. Sometimes we get it, but you get it all the time. What austerity did you perform to attain the touch of Lord Keshava's lotus feet, which has brought you such great joy that your bodily hairs are standing on end? This is how the gopis see the grass. You appear very beautiful in this condition. Was it during the Lord's current appearance that you acquired this ecstatic symptom? Or was it perhaps much earlier when he stepped upon you in his form of the dwarf Vamanadev? Or maybe even earlier when he embraced you in the form of Varahadev? So in this way we can understand that Bhumi, she's a goddess, but her whole consciousness and her whole being pervades the entire earth. That's why in the Vedic culture, people before, when they get up in the morning, when they rise, first thing they have to request, Dear Mother, don't mind, I'm putting my feet on you. Please forgive me for that. Krishna, she wants his feet, but she accepts our feet out of her kindness. So it's non-different. The earth planet, the earth deity, this is a great mistake of contemporary mankind, is that they only see matter. Even the so-called primitive people, they understood spirit is everywhere. in the trees, in the mountains, in the air, in the wind, in the forests. Spirit is everywhere. But by progress, we now understand there's no such thing as spirit anywhere. And therefore, they don't find any, they have no remorse in destroying the earth and destroying everything. It's a great, great misinterpretation, misunderstanding of the statement in the Bible that God gave man dominion over all animals and over the whole earth. And okay, it's for us to explain. A demoniac attitude. He says, all right, I'll give you these children to look after. And okay, we'll cook them and eat them. Oh, they're put in your care, not for exploitation. So Bhumi herself is conscious of everything that we're doing here, and she feels. There's nothing more sinful, Bhagavatam, we find, there's nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. In traditional cultures, more advanced, spiritually more advanced cultures, people were aware that Bhumi, she is conscious, she's sentient, she's personal, she's aware of everything we do to her and to others. And that's why they would have sacrifices to and acknowledging not just Bhumi, but the gods. It's not just by our hard work that we produce grains. The Vedas also, there's in the Vedas, in praise of the earth, there's the Bhumi Sukta that we just read. Srila Prabhupada would often refer to Mother Earth. For instance, in a lecture in 1976, Srila Prabhupada said, the earth is supplying food to everyone. As the mother gives life or maintains the child by the milk of her breast, similarly, the earth mother is maintaining all different types of living entities. There are 8,400,000 different forms of life, and the earth, Mother Earth, is supplying food. So we should see like a mother in civilized cultures, or we may just say normal human society. People have great respect and gratefulness toward their mother. Not in advanced America. It's most barbaric, this so-called. They think they're advanced. And they think they have to make everyone like themselves also. Just asatyare satya karimani. They take everything that's wrong to be right. Dharmam dharmam itiya manyase tamasavrita, covered by the mode of ignorance. They think what is wrong to be right. The Mother Earth, she's mentioned as one of the seven mothers. Atma Mata Guru Patni Brahmani Raja Patnika Dhinur Dhatri Tata Prithvi, the earth. Saptaita Matara Smritaha. I once met a pundit in Nepal, and somehow he just rattled off to me all the one shloka with all the names of the earth in Sanskrit. So who is this earth of whom Krishna is so? He's lord of her. He's very affectionate to her. Not like the demoniac kings, they conquer the earth and think it's mine, I'm dominating. But Krishna, as a protective husband, is very fond of her and loves her. So who is this earth? Let us consider. Remember, we're considering in relation to Kshitish. In the Vishnu Dharmottara Purana, the instructions for painting a form of Bhumi Mata, the earth goddess, are given from which we can understand what she in her form, her goddess form, appears. She's referred, there's Markandeya Rishi referring to Mahi, that's one of the names of the earth. So Mahi, the earth goddess, should be painted the color of a parrot. When we say in India, of course there are so many parrots in different parts of the world, but in India when we say parrot we mean bright green, right? So bright green, that's also the color of the earth in abundance. If you see in the rainy season, the whole earth becomes bright green. Now it's all brown and dry, like much of California is most of the time, except they bring this water from the other side of the mountains. But becomes almost dazzling green when the sun comes up on the rice fields, and becomes almost dazzlingly green.
Sparkles.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to wear sunglasses. So bright green. She is adorned with divine ornaments, with four hands. Very peaceful countenance. Her garment is white like the moonlight. O delighter of the Yadavas, in the hand of Bhu should be depicted a jewel vessel, a corn vessel, it means for holding jewels, for holding corn, a vessel or a bowl full of medicinal plants, and a lotus. So these are the things she holds in her hands. She produces jewels, she produces grains and medicinal plants, and one for a lotus. She sits on the back of the four elephants, Diggajas, the elephants. They support the earth, and she sits on them. That's her carrier. She is accompanied by all the vegetable life, and therefore of bright color. Her white garment is dharma, and the lotus in her hand is artha, wealth. And we see her as something. We don't see as her at all. We say it. Something to dynamite, pollute. Mining is there in Vedic culture, but not this horribly polluting the world. We should see her as our mother. That's lost in Hindu culture. Now they're completely into this so-called vikas, development, and pollution, so bad. Gar se kaho hum Hindu hai. Say it proudly. We are Hindus, but in the meantime going against every principle of the traditional Indian culture. Satyadeva Vashishta, he says, that in which he gives the Sanskrit, he explains the Sanskrit of this Kshitish in another way to come to the same conclusion, that Kshiti means that in which all beings mingle after death. After their life here is over, Satyadeva Vashishta explains many of these names of Vishnu Sahasranam in terms of Vishnu's overseeing an interaction with the material world and the material elements. So that in which all beings, their whole bodies ultimately mingle after their life here is Kshiti, and the Lord of Kshiti is Kshitish, which reminds us of the biblical statement, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Which means that after death, our bodies revert to their earthly components. Hare Krishna. That's discussion of Kshiti. And you have a question to ask or something to say?
Guru Maharaj, so the Sri Devi, Bhu Devi,
And then Nila Devi.
Yeah, yeah, Sri, Bhu, Nila, there are so many Shaktis. Ila, Nila, Pravi, I just forget the names now. There are so many prominent Shaktis. There's one is Sri, and then if you take as two, it's Sri Bhu. If you take as three, there's Sri, there's Sri Bhu Nila. Then if you are there are, what are the others? I can't remember now. The Pravi is one, Ila is one. You're looking it up? The different, these are the prominent Shaktis of the Lord. Sri Bhu, Lila, Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Gir, Pushti, Satya, Jnana, Jnana, Jaya, Utkarshani, Vimala, Yogamaya, Pravi, Ishana, Anugraha. These are 16 major names. And there may be different lists given. Exactly what their function is, it is stated somewhere, but I can't remember what Nila means exactly. Sri Bhu, Lila, Kanti, here Nila is not mentioned in this list of 16. Nor is Ila, which is also one of them. Which also, Ila, one meaning is also the earth. Oh, here it is in another list. It's Jiva Goswami gives. Sri Pushti, Gir, Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Ila, Jaya. Vidya, Vidya, Maya, Samvid, Sandhini, Hladini, Bhakti, Murti, Vimala, Yogi, Yoga, Pravi, and so on. Ah, yeah. So I don't know offhand what Nila is. I don't remember this. Also in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Nila is given as the land of Navadvipa, as far as I remember. In three major consorts, maybe. Because all these Shaktis are his consorts.
So Maharaj, we know that Prithivi as the consort of Lord Vishnu. But for the other planetary system, Maharaj, like the higher planetary systems, Bhuva, Swar, Mahajanata, Posatyar, Atal, Vital, Sutal, Talatal, Mahatal, Itadi, we don't see them as part of the Shakti or manifestation as the form of internal energy and serving the Lord in eternal relationship. So can you please give a little bit of insight?
Well, I guess that's up to Krishna, right? He has love marriage. He chooses who he likes. He's Jagannath. So in that sense, everything is feminine in relation with him. So are you, for that matter. So are all of us. Exactly why, I don't know. Like I say, ultimately, it's his desire, right? Who he chooses to be closest to him. And the individuals also. Let me switch this. Oh yeah, that's right. The individuals also, they have their particular relationship with him. So you don't want everyone to be your wife, right? There have to be others also. The wives also need their serving maids. There's no meaning to be a queen if you don't have serving maids. So then others, they're there also, but they're not all in exactly the same position. Everyone wants to be a gopi, but you need some gopas, and you need some cows, you need some grass, you need some birds. There are all kinds of things needed, right? Hare Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, you made this reference to the Bible and how often Christians, they misconstrue the understanding about having dominion over the earth. And it just made me think of this prayer, this Christian prayer, Our Father who art in heaven,
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They have the idea that Jesus will come and make the earth just like heaven, which means that they can eat roast steak three meals a day and not get indigestion. I suppose that's their idea of it. I don't know. Isn't there some idea that Jesus will come and rule the world?
Yeah,
rule the earth for some time.
Yeah,
and then they'll all go
enjoy with him.
And then they'll go to heaven.
Jehovah Witnesses, they believe 144,000 men are chosen to enjoy the kingdom with
that. Well, if they're chosen, then why are they preaching? No,
the rest of them enjoy here. The rest of them enjoy here.
I see, yeah.
Would it be safe to say that like the Krishna conscious understanding is that by diving?
There is no Krishna conscious understanding of it. What's the Krishna conscious understanding of Mickey Mouse? It's just some imagination, that's all. We don't have to do a Krishna conscious commentary on the Bible. No, there are many good things in the Bible, no doubt, but this is not in the Bible. That's just their extrapolation, isn't it? It's not necessarily that we accept everything in the Bible as being correct anyway. And at the time of deciding what goes in the Bible, there was whether the book of Revelation should be in or not, it just squeezed in. Maybe Christianity would have been a lot better if it didn't get in, where they have this idea of the day of judgment. Well, anyway, all this. I remember reading it as a kid. I just thought, well, I might as well read it. I wasn't particularly inclined toward Christianity. And the last book is the book of Revelations. And I thought, wow, this guy must have been on some hallucinogenic drugs. Really. The descriptions he gives, he must have been taking something. That's what I thought. It'd really scare you if you really believe it. The day of the beast is coming, and there's this 666 number, and it's really scary. Otherwise, in Hindi, you'll say things like Ganga Prapta, Vaikuntha Prapta, Swadharma Prapta. Just like we say in ISKCON, everyone dies, they went back to Godhead. Well, maybe. We just presume. You see underneath the photo is written Swarga Prapta. Maybe they went, maybe they didn't. It's just presumed that everyone goes to heaven, but Brahmaline, that's kept for the Mayavadi sannyasis, and they're called that even before they die. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Vantakalpa Turubhya Strakivasana Vishapati Dhanabha.